Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Eisenhower. I'm the CEO and founder of ICC, or Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC is one of the largest real estate coaching companies in the world, with thousands of clients and a large team of the most accomplished coaches in the industry, who coach many of the highest producing real estate agents, teams, and broker owners in North America. I'm lucky enough to be a best-selling author myself, with over 10 books published, and I'm frequently a keynote speaker and presenter for many of the largest real estate companies in the world. I've spent my career creating training materials, courses, and other coaching and training content dedicated to transforming the real estate industry and real estate agents that work within it. You can find more content on my website, the world's leading production training website for real estate agents, at therealestatetrainer.com. That's therealestatetrainer.com. Now on this podcast, I'll share tips, success stories, and training for agents and brokers looking to increase their business income while maintaining a balanced life. So whether you are a new licensee, a solo agent, a real estate team leader, or maybe a team member, a broker owner, or a manager, you are guaranteed to learn something new on each and every podcast episode. Let's go ahead and talk about that script that is the most powerful conversation, often referred to as a needs analysis, how we use that in a recruiting appointment, which is also the same conversation as a coaching appointment, which is also the same conversation as a listing appointment. To me, this is what the top people are very good at. The top executives, the most successful agents, the best real estate coaches know how to ask the right questions to motivate the person in front of them, whether it's motivating an agent to join your team or your company or your program, whether it's motivating a coaching client to do what they finally need to do to sell more real estate, as hard as that may be, whether that's motivating a seller to price their home right or put their home up for sale now instead of after the holidays next spring to finally get what they want in their life. That way, it's really the same conversation, okay? I'm going to actually show you guys some of the training materials we use to motivate a lot of our coaching clients that run some of the largest teams and brokerages in North America. So I'm going to show it to you in the context of a recruiting script, but I'm also going to show you how to use it with both coaching clients and, most importantly, for a lot of you, listing appointments as well, too. So I'm going to share my screen with you really quick just to kind of give you an overview of the outline so you can see it. And we're going to be over here where we look at our recruiting process script. And here is the general outline of the needs analysis, not necessarily for recruiting, but also coaching and listing. And we start with a process where we go past, then we move into present, then we move into future pleasure, then we move into future pain. And at that point, we switch into phase two of our appointment, where we move into the coaching relationship, where we offer a prescription, a solution to their problem, to their pain. And then we actually talk about an action plan for taking those steps.
I'm interrupting this podcast to share an amazing opportunity with you. This is your chance to see us in person. Join us at the ICC Summit along with the real estate industry's top producers as we gather together on the central coast of California for a weekend of masterminding, productivity training, and networking that you won't forget. Visit ICCSummit2021.com to learn more and use promo code PODCASTEARLYBIRD to get 20% off your registration. Register at the link in our show notes before spots are filled.
And now they're going to realize, oh, wait a minute, this is what I need to do. So naturally, we're humans. We're going to start coming up with objections why we don't need to change a thing, and we'll just go back to being miserable like we were before. So we get into an objection handling, okay? So this needs analysis is the general business name for this seven-step process here, okay, that I've divided into two halves, really, okay? So first, we're going to start talking about the past, first and foremost, okay? And when we talk about the past, this is where we want to stay lazy, okay? When I mean stay lazy, we're not going to tell and sell. We're going to sit back and ask questions. When we're meeting with our seller, we're going to ask questions about how long they lived in the house, what they like about the house, what are the best amenities of the house, And then, you know, we're going to let them kind of tell us a little bit about their past, maybe how they got to know each other, what they do for a living. And we're just going to ask questions, right? If we're meeting with a real estate recruit, we talk about all the places they've worked, what their experience was at each place. What did you like best about working there? Is there anything you didn't like about working there? Why did you leave? And then we move on to the next place they worked. Maybe they worked for a real estate team. What do they like about that team? What do they not like about that team? Why did they leave that team? So if you're recruiting for your team, we always want to stay lazy by only asking questions. We don't get in there and we don't tell and sell, okay? We're not doing much at all other than listening at this point, okay? So we're really, really getting to a point where we sit back and we listen and allow them to tell their story. And we act like a tour guide, where we just kind of keep asking the next question until we learn more and more. If we are in a coaching relationship, same thing, because we're going to learn all of the things that didn't work. And you're going to learn a lot of limiting beliefs. And quite frankly, you guys as agents, you have tons of them. You've already made up your mind about so many different things. 99% of the ways that work for lead generation, you've already told yourself you don't want to do them. You're still looking for the one that you haven't found yet. Typically, you might have one you like to do, but you've turned yourself off. So it's good for me as a coach to know all these negative mindsets or limiting beliefs that you've got for yourselves already, because I already know where I need to battle, right? To get you to finally succeed, right? And that's just you being a human. It's just like, you know, we have objections to, you know, waking up early. We're not morning people or working out. That's just not who we are, or eating less or drinking less. We've all got our minds made up, and it's very hard. Even though we want the results of changing, very rarely will we really be willing to go through the activities to change them. So if you're a successful human, you're one of the motivators. Does that make sense? So when I say, so you're a motivator, you have to be. If you want to be a top agent, you're a good motivator. If you want to be a real estate executive, you got to be a good motivator. If you want to be a successful team leader, you got to be a good motivator, which means you got to dig in and learn to motivate. And when I say motivate, I'm not talking about the president getting up there firing everybody up. I'm not talking about some, you know, Tony Robbins. I'm talking about real life motivation, which means you help somebody else self-discover their own motivation just by asking a series of questions, okay? And those questions are laid out for you in this process, right? So then next up, and we're going to start showing you those questions here as well too. Then what we do is we're going to move over here into the present, okay? And this is where we're going to ask, we'll start with the real estate recruiting conversation. I'd like you to rank your business for me on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest. And 10 is, you know, whatever you think a 10 is. You know, for a lot of people, a 10 is having the perfect amount of business and income that they want. But it could also be the right type of business, the right price point, the right office environment, the right type of clients. It could be the right amount of flexibility with time. All of these things are different for each person. So what is a 10 to you? 10 being the highest, I want you to rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. And when they give us that number, that's when we really, really get to a point where we know how they are right now. And that's when we'll move into future pleasure, right? So remember that people cannot say no to their own goals here. So we need to tell them, hey, tell me, where are you planning on going in the future? Okay. So if I'm a real estate agent, I want to know, where do you want your business to be 5 years from now and why? What will that get from you? Because a lot of you, if I were trying to motivate you right now, you know, basically what you would say is, oh no, I'm okay. I'm good. I've got an excuse. It's coronavirus after the holidays. So if I were to say, why don't you start adding 10 people on Facebook and trying to message them for some client event you're going to have in Christmas, every one of you, if you think about if I said that to you personally, think about how quickly the excuses pop into your brain. I mean, every one of you, I guarantee you, every one of you has got tons of excuses, and I don't agree with any of them. I'm just here to tell you, but I'm sure you got them. Could be coronavirus, could be this, could be that, could be the holidays, could be you're still setting something up. We're still working on getting something into our CRM. So after that, you know, we'll do it. So all of your goals are put on hold. So it's very important we bring those goals out, because usually as humans, we've suppressed them. We've hidden them because we can't bear to look at them, because we're not moving towards them, And if we were looking at that reality is too much for our brains to handle.
We need to take a quick break to talk about my newest book coming out this September, The High Performing Real Estate Team. Transform your real estate business into a sales powerhouse. Discover how to create a viral goal that spreads throughout your team and drives change. Learn to focus on core activities that result in the majority of your growth and productivity. Cultivate personal responsibility with public accountability and accelerate growth with a custom team dashboard that measures metrics for success. You can pre-order the book at the link in our show notes below.
I'm going to pull it out. Why? Because I'm one of those few motivators. If you want to be one of those few motivators, you need to learn how to unearth it, dig down deep, and pull motivation out. And all we do to do that is ask the right questions, right? So in a present case scenario on a scale of 1 to 10, you'll hear a lot of agents ask, how badly do you want to move and why? Why do you want to move? Is it because you want to be closer to your grandmother? Because your grandmother's going to watch the kids, take care of them more, spend more time with the grandkids. Maybe also get the kids in a better school district. All of those things seem extremely important. However, the average human, the average home seller, you know what they're like. They'll quickly crawl right back into their shell. I don't need to sell. It's no big deal. I'll just wait till after the holiday. Now, if you pull it out and have a conversation right in front of them in a listing appointment, right before you talk about price, all of a sudden they might be more inclined to list their home now for a price that will sell so they can get on with their goals. But if you don't go deep enough because you just find out why they want to sell and they just give you a quick answer, this is what almost every one of you, I will challenge you and say, every single one of you short porches this part. Unless you take more than 100 listings a year, I almost get, which I know there's a couple of you on here, but most of you short porch this. You don't get into the emotion as to why. You don't get deep enough, which means you don't motivate them. Because they don't want to tell you, because we keep that stuff hidden. I bet you someone asked you today how you were doing, and you said, fine, okay. And that person didn't dig any deeper than that, so it's as far as they got. Just because you can tell me why a seller wants to move, I guarantee you that's not enough. Why is not enough. I need to know why it will, how it will make them feel when they move. I want you to ask a question about emotion. Because if they start answering you and start telling you the emotion of what it would feel like to see their kids spending so much time with their grandparents every single day and being able to go on date nights and what that would do for their marriage because their grandparents are watching the kids more and to see the kids get better opportunities from being in that school district. And if they tell you how that makes them feel, that means they're thinking about how it makes them feel, which means they are experiencing what it will feel like. So don't think it's the sellers that aren't being reasonable. Don't think it's your clients that aren't. It's because you don't have the skill set yet to really be a motivator. And if you recruit agents to your real estate team or to your real estate company, and you don't understand why they don't want to pay that split or they want this amenity, it's because they don't really believe that they haven't seen how they're going to succeed and sell at a higher level on your team yet. We all know that real estate agents are unreasonably split sensitive. Humans are afraid of costs. That's why so few agents will invest in their business. That's why 5% of all agents do 95% of the business. It's because the other 95% will just be much happier keeping a large percentage of their commissions and sell almost no houses. You know what 0% of 100% is? Zero. I mean, I guarantee you in every one of your MLSs, 70% of the agents haven't sold a home in the last 12 months. Guaranteed. There are very few people that make it in real estate, and they typically are the ones that aren't cost adverse. So if you're going to recruit one of these cheap O's, I'll tell you right now, you better be able to convey value and get them motivated about being a successful agent, because it's shocking how those 70% of your entire MLS is perfectly content staying there. And if anybody on this call has tried to recruit, you get what I'm saying. They're like, well, I'm not going to go. They haven't sold a house in 3 years, but they're not going to move to your company because of the commission split. Or they don't want to be on your real estate team and pay a 50-50, yet they sold 2 houses. It's ridiculous. But that's the way it works. And a lot of you are nodding, and that's why. Okay? So we have to motivate them. Same with coaching clients. You'll have a coaching client who can't pay their bills. They can barely afford to pay for coaching, yet you know, they have all these goals. They will say they're way too busy. They have no contracts pending, but they're too busy to call five people in their SOI a day. Human nature has nothing to do with logic. You need to motivate them. If you want to be a great coach, recruiter, or agent, you've got to learn to dig deep. And it starts with digging into future pleasure. Okay. So that's first and foremost. Let me carry us on a little further. Then we're going to move into future pain, right? You must cause them, I love saying this, you must cause them to feel pain. Okay. And I don't mean physical pain. That is a big disclosure. I mean, they must know what happens if 5 years from now, they don't accomplish their goals, which means you got to walk them down that dark road. So what happens if you don't get moved? What school district do your kids go to school in? What kind of relationship will they have with your grandparents, right? I'm kind of moving around, so I hope you're following me. That's when we're talking to a seller on a listing appointment. And if we're talking to a recruiter, hey, if we don't make changes with your business, if we don't finally put a plan in place where some activities to generate business and you don't finally do them, how are you going to succeed in this industry and hit your goals that you laid out for me 5 years from now, right? So we have to get them to imagine and feel. And how would you feel in that scenario? We have to dig deep and get those feelings, okay? So I'm gonna move in a little further. So that's that future pain. So once we get them to see future pain, that is where we switch gears. Remember in our coaching appointment, in our needs analysis, we get through asking the questions, right? So we get through the past, the present, future pleasure, future pain, and then we switch gears into our coaching relationship, right? And that's where we want to get permission to coach them, right? So I might ask, would it be okay if I made some suggestions that might help you with some of those issues preventing your business from being a 10? So if I'm a recruiter, this is what I'm going to say here. I'm going to ask permission to give them a prescription. Just imagine I'm a doctor, you've got some pain. You know, they've probably told you that, you know, they want to sell more real estate. They'd like to sell 25 houses a year. They only sell two right now. They probably told you they were a five or a six, which I really think they should be a one or a two, but people tend to always say they're a five or a six on a scale of one to 10. And I'm going to say, so what's going to happen differently? And that's where they're stuck. And that's where I'm a doctor kind of writing a prescription for them. You know, I'm going to ask permission for them. Well, what if you were to lead generate and make 10 contacts a day? What if you were to add 20 people to your database every week? See, if you were on our real estate team, we're going to hold you accountable to that. And I show them the team scoreboard and I show them how every agent on the team is held accountable to calling five people in their database a day or inviting five people to the team's client event each week or adding 20 people or 10 people or five people to their SOI sphere of influence database every single week. And you can show them proof positive. I mean, if I'm running a real estate office, I'm going to sit down and say, hey, I'm going to, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a lead generation plan in place. We're going to actually, you know, hold you accountable to this. So I'm actually going to show them, here is what we're going to do. I'm going to show them the prescription. I'm going to talk with them about this prescription. I'm going to start coaching them right then and there. Same with if I'm working in a listing appointment with a seller, same exact deal. I'm going to say, well, to get you moved, here's what we need to do. I'm actually going to pull out that CMA. I'm going to show them, here's why we need to price it. I'm going to show them, here's what needs to be to get it done. If you really want to get over to a 10, let's play it safe. Let's make sure we get you there. Let's don't roll the dice with a high price or roll the dice to see what the market's going to be like next March. Let's play it safe and get you into that life so your life is a 10. And let's get that house up for sale at the right price right now. That's the conservative play. Let's get you there. Okay. So I'm going to use those buzzwords, safe, conservative. Those are very popular words in persuasion. People will gravitate to safety and conservative plays. They will avoid negative buzzwords like risk averse, gamble, dice roll. So I will use those words with the course I don't want them. Let's don't take a risk and list it next year. Let's don't roll the dice and overprice it. So I will use those words to steer them into the best move for them. Okay? I'm not going to manipulate with it. I'm trying to motivate someone to quit smoking. If I'm a doctor, I got to make you quit smoking. Quite frankly, I'm going to get you to quit smoking any way I can because I'm a good doctor. I'm not going to say it's cool, just switch to Marlboro Lights. Right? I'm going to make you quit smoking. I'm going to show you pictures of lungs that are all disgusting. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to gross you out. Albert, did you have something there? Or no,
you're just a laugh, man. I like it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for
right now. You're not switching to Marlboro lights. You're gonna get this done. I get it.
Yeah. Well, I will say, Albert, I mean, you know this conversation as good as anybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's. I mean, listen, I struggle with it too. I mean, oftentimes I'm willing to you know, if somebody's just not that motivated, their preference is to kind of stay in second gear. You know, sometimes is that so terrible? I don't know. It's a challenge of, you know, because everybody needs to be driven a little bit further than their comfort zone. Correct. Like that's just a fact of life. And I could do that more and do it better.
Oh, I'm right with you. I can't argue that. I mean, and that's why we are taking the temperature of whoever we're talking to, is trying to find out their motivation. I'm yet to find someone that honestly and truly didn't want to get a little bit better with either more income or more personal time. Like, usually people at least always want to improve with a little bit more income and a little bit less work, you know, and usually we're pushing those two balls forward, you know, at least in real estate. Now, if you're talking to a seller, it's a little bit different. Most of the time, especially, it's never been easier to motivate sellers than it is, you know, during this market post coronavirus, where people really put a lot of pressure on their home. You know what I mean? Like, people demand a lot out of their home right now. Their home has to be their gym, has to be their office. It has to be the location they want. So, you know, people are very motivated, which is why the market's, you know, been so dang hot across the country at record levels, is because of that pressure to get to a better home. Shelter in place put a lot of value on shelter. Let's put it that way. Right? So that's where that prescription comes to. And then, okay, so I'm going to move back to the next step. We're almost there. We're going to move into your key deliverables. And this is our action step. It's step number six. And it's right before step seven, which is where we talk about handling objections, right? Because typically we're going to say, well, then here's what you need to do. Let's get your home up for sale for this price. Or here's what you need to do. You're going to join our real estate team. Or here's what you need to do. You're going to join my real estate company or my real estate program or whatever the heck we're recruiting to. It's that simple. And the minute you say that, it gets really real for them, right? And the minute we start talking about them actually taking action, most humans put them, nope, you're saying that if I need to get in shape, I need to sign up for the gym and go down there tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Uh-oh, now here come the objections, right? And then we jump into overcoming their objections, right? Because that's what usually happens. We know logically we need to do these things, yet for some crazy reason, we don't do them, right? And it's really just subconscious that we jump away from pain much more quickly than we move into pleasure. It's almost like if we touch a hot pan on the stove, we pull away instantaneously, right? We have that's how we look at pain. Sit-ups, waking up early, going to the gym, or just changing our daily routine. All of that, instantaneously, we take a step back, right? Because that's painful. So we're always going to knee-jerk away and look for as quickly as we can to find a reason in our mind to not do something uncomfortable. So understand, when you are recruiting, when you are motivating, when you are listing, when you are coaching, their knee-jerk reaction is going to be to move away. If they don't move away and they're like, yeah, I just want to do this, be careful. You know, I proceed with it, but understand that objection's usually coming later. You know what I'm saying? It is very common for people to jump away for uncomfortable activity, and you're asking them to change their behavior. So in order to do that, it's really important for you to stay with them and be patient and overcome their objections. And I think Albert, I'm going to make fun of you, Albert, but when you said, well, if someone's a two, I just kind of give up. And that's, you know, that, you know, when you're a salty veteran like Albert is and has done this for a very long time, I'm with you on this.
You just start, shrug emoji.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. No, I've felt that too. No, you know, no shame in that. It's just like, you don't have that energy. And one of the, I don't coach a whole lot of clients myself anymore for that reason, is because I feel that, you know, like, if they don't want to do it, all right, they don't want to do it, you know, and that's not a good coach. That's not a good motivator.
Wait, you know what I mean? So what you're saying is not a good coach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's why most, you know, I don't coach nearly as much as my coaches coach for me anymore, for that reason.
Right. That
you know, I should, you know, in a lot of ways I should be put out to pasture. in a lot of ways, I am put out to pasture. So, but that's kind of how that works. Now, if I'm recruiting someone, and bear with me here, if I'm, oh, I see people are making fun. That's good. I love every people make fun of my quote unquote passion a lot, which is good. You can always freely make fun of me in the chat room or just verbally if you'd like to. One thing I do want to show you here is with regards to a prescription for a real estate agent. So if we are recruiting or coaching a real estate agent in our company or on our team, you all will love this though. I want to show you guys, because this is great for you guys. It's some free coaching for you. I'm going to zoom into our Sphere of Influence course here. It's chapter 4 of our SOI course. Now I'm going to zoom in a little bit here and show you guys my favorite section of it. And this is really important here. The numbers don't lie. And these are National Association of Realtors numbers. Do you realize 33% of newly licensed agents quit real estate after just their first year? They don't renew their MLS and realtor dues. 87% of agents leave the business within their first 5 years. And 89% of all transactions are handled by 11% of the agents. You talk about some scary stuff.
Wow.
Okay. That's scary stuff. And you want to know why that is? It's because most people don't do anything to get business. I've never seen people quit the business because customer service was too hard. You know, it's almost always for the same reason. If you ask people, I mean, and I've worked with tons of agents, thousands of agents now, they always quit real estate or leave for the same reason. I just didn't make enough money. And then my question to follow up is, well, how much time in the last month have you spent trying to get a new client? And usually that answer is zero. I mean, they spend a lot of time showing property and stuff like that. That's not getting a new client. That's customer service. That's a client you've already got. That's back to conversion. Understanding the difference between lead generation and lead conversion is probably the biggest misconception within our industry. Agents spend tons of time servicing themselves, servicing their clients, you know, playing around with their business, but spend no time at all doing anything to try to get a new client. Yet their biggest need in their business is more income and more clients, but they do very little effort towards that end. Okay. So it's very important if you're recruiting or coaching an agent that you actually start here, right? And I know Jody Jolly, our productivity coach, definitely knows how to do this, but I want to talk about your core. Every agent should be doing this. I don't care who you are. You should be getting the majority of your business from your sphere of influence. There's tons of other ways to generate business, but the majority of it should come from your sphere of influence, okay? And understand that you should have an annual database contact plan where we are systematically, in an automated fashion, reaching out to everyone in our sphere of influence, right? And I recommend 40 annual contacts to everyone in your contact plan. That doesn't mean you need to call them 40 times. Don't log out. Okay. But that's a combination of touches. It's a combination of emails, phone calls, text messages, social media messages, mailers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And I know Candace's eyes are lighting up. Don't worry.
Smart plans. Right.
All right. Right. Now here's the key to it, right? If you do that with everybody in your sphere of influence, that will result in one closed transaction for every 7 people in your database, your SOI database, okay? Your SOI means these are people that you know who you are. That's it. They just got to recognize you by name. They don't need to be your best friends. They just got to be people that will recognize you by name. They might just recognize you by name and you've never met them, but they somehow have met your husband or your wife. Could be a coworker of your ex-husband. So long as they have, you know, don't have a reason to hate you, you suddenly rise above the level of spam when you market to them. That's all I need. Spam, you. That's it. Okay. Don't need to be best friends. Okay. So that's very important. In the Millionaire Real Estate Agent, Gary Keller refers to them as your MET database. Okay. And he defines that, I think on page 147. Of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book. And he prescribes a 6-to-1 conversion ratio. I just differ a tiny bit. It's also about 20 years later. Okay. So does that make sense? And what that looks like, let's just assume that you know 300 people And I bet you y'all do. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if the people you know don't have any money. I don't care if they're, I've heard them all. Trust me. I've heard that one 1,000 times. Another 1,000 times I've heard, well, I'm new to the area. Doesn't matter. You can, 300 people is extremely easy to grow your database with. Okay. If you have 300 people in your SOI, okay, and you're able to put 40 annual contacts on them. Remember that combination through different communication channels, emails, mailers, social media, phone calls, text messages, blah, 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 blah. It would result in 12,000 touches per year, most of which are automated. Okay. Most of which are automated. You know, you got a couple phone calls in there, I hope, at least 2 phone calls a year on everybody. That's the only work you're typically doing that's not automated these days. So, you know, that's 600 phone calls a year. That means about 2 phone calls a day. You got to call 2 people in your SOI from Monday to Friday. And if you don't believe me on that, well, there's, you know, 250 business days in a year. You've got to make 600 calls. So just about 2.2 calls a day. It's not that daunting. The rest is automated. If they don't answer, text them. There's your text. Make sense? Simple. Other than that, should all be set up by you, right? And if we apply our 7-to-1 conversion ratio up here that we talk about to these 300 people in your SOI, just go through your phone and go through your friends on Facebook. You should have 300 people in no time. Apply our 7-to-1 conversion ratio, 300 divided by 7, you've got 43 closed transactions a year. Let me stay with you. I know half of you don't believe me already. And that's fine. That, like I said, it's a very small percentage of people that succeed in real estate. So I expect a lot of you to not believe it. And that's your reason for not having to do this work. So it's going to be a very small percentage of you that actually pick this up and succeed. Most of you will quit real estate in 5 years, 87% of you to be exact. Did that get your attention? So those 43 closed transactions, let's say, I mean, a lot of you are well above this price point, but let's say you have an average GCI of $7,500. I mean, that's $300,000 plus a year. Most of you would be up over $600,000 a year. If this is based on a $250,000 price at 3%. Most of you are operating 500, 600,000. I just used the national average there. Most of you are, you know, in Southern California operating 500, 600, 700,000 at 2.5%, which is going to put you about double this number, which will put you about 600,000 plus in GCI. The reason a lot of you don't believe this will work is because that sounds too easy. Oh, trust me, it's not easy. Most of you can't even get the dang contacts in your CRM. Most of you won't even take the time to go to the CRM. And then once you get it there, most of you will have 1,000 reasons why you don't want to call them. See what I'm saying? Very few of you get this done. I'm not asking you to dig a ditch. I'm not asking you to like be a mason and build a brick wall in 110 degree heat. But this is much harder than that if you look at the success rate. So this, hey, Brian, it does work.
From another perspective, though.
What's that?
Check this out. I mean, another way to look at it, though, is if you can break into the 11%, you get to do 89% of the transactions.
That's right. I mean, right? That is exactly, I mean, right. So I've never seen
the exact this same sale. Facts. It sounds a lot more interesting now.
Right. Totally. I've never. Yeah. You're being positive. Wait, glasses half full. I will say, Brian, I have never seen this fail ever. Okay. But that means the people did it. For the people that did it, I've never seen this fail. But Brian, I can tell you a ton of people have not done it. I mean, the vast majority of people will not do this little bit of work. And Jody, I'm coming. I'm just trying to squeeze in a little bit more. This is typically my prescription if I'm a recruiter. So if I'm recruiting to my team, my brokerage, my program, if I'm Jody recruiting to the productivity coaching program, I'm going to get this quick SOI elevator speech down because it's their whole business plan. And I'm going to show them from start to finish, soup to nuts, this is how you do it. And you can have this conversation in 5 freaking minutes. It's the most important recruiting conversation, coaching conversation that you can possibly have with a real estate agent. It's the fastest way to motivate them and get them refocused on what they should be worried about. Jody, your turn.
One of the things that I like to ask when I get pushback is, are you okay with only achieving 30% of your goal this year? Because about 70% of our business, give or take, comes from our SOI when we do everything that you just described. And so if somebody has a goal that they need to hit, particularly just to live, let alone the extras that they want to do, are they okay with only 30%?
That's right. That's right. do understand this from a recruiting standpoint, whether you're recruiting to your team or your office, if someone is doing something differently because of price, you know, that means, you know, we got an absence of value. If they don't want to go to your team because they don't want to reduce a commission split, that means you're not being able to convey your value. So price will be an issue in the absence of value. So we've got to show more value. And typically it's, if you work with us, you'll sell a lot more real estate, and you better be able to convince them of that. So that elevator speech going through the sphere of influence numbers is very important, right? And that came out of, I better share that with you too. That came out of my SOI course, which is copyrighted as a part of a book that my publisher would totally not appreciate me sharing this with you. But I am going to do it anyway, because I am a rebel like that.
I could add something about the database. So it was just a few years ago, I signed up for coaching, and it was only like the twice a month coaching. This year it went into full-time coaching. And I'll tell you, there's a major difference. Before, I was just almost getting lucky on activities. You know, I'd do a little bit of farming, a little bit of cold calls, a little bit of sphere, and a deal would come from all these different activities. And it wasn't until I really said, okay, well, you know, I'm reading the MREA now for the eighth or ninth time at that point. And it keeps telling me that, hey, you need a MET database, you know, people that know you, that are, you already met, and having a systematic way to meet them or stay in contact with them. And that's when I decided to invest. If I'm going to invest in coaching, I'm going to invest in a coach who can, you know, really work with me on my database. In year one, that I made my fourth year, I made $100,000+. And thought, wow, this almost felt like accident. I don't know if I can repeat how this happened. The year I went into coaching, it went up to like 160 in GCI. And then the year two went down to like 150. Small difference, but I netted more money. It's a long story. And this year I'm on pace to make over 250,000, and strictly all from database, working SOI, working allied resources, working past clients. None of it's cold. I had one cold call come from Zillow that I converted. And I don't even pay for Zillow. Just the fact that my phone number shows up on the listing, when people look up the listing for KW listings, you know, they called me and I converted one, you know? So looking at everything the last 2 years, outside of the one that came from Zillow, everything has been a referral or someone I met even at a grocery store, but then they referred me somebody. But it's just all kind of living life. Nothing outside the border, or none of that stuff. Nothing off the reservation. Everyone has 2 or 3 degrees away, and we're making deals work, making deals happen. So hopefully that helps people here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, all top agents focus on their sphere of influence first. I don't care who you are. So if you're running around there looking for a magic pill that makes it so you quote unquote don't have to bother the people you know, boy, we are in trouble. Like you, I mean, I would literally start looking for other jobs if you're going to maintain that mindset, because no self-respecting top producing agent gets a significant portion of their business from any other source. And trust me, we coach all the different methods for prospecting for business that from people you don't know. Okay. But that's a means to an end. And the end is your sphere of influence, because eventually we want business coming to us. You will burn out just calling expireds, calling FSBOs, circle prospecting, paying for online leads, converting online leads. That is not the low hanging fruit. That's the hard stuff that will tire you out. So please put a foundation of your sphere of influence. You just don't find anybody getting the bulk of their business from other lead generation sources for long.
And Brian, when we stick with our sphere of influence as our main way to lead generate, it doesn't matter what market we're in.
Correct.
They are a resource in every type of market, no matter what it is.
That's correct. That is correct. 100%.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching, or to watch my training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or join our Facebook called the Real Estate Agent Roundtable. Thanks again.